To begin with, I want us to read several portions of Scripture. Isaiah 53, Matthew 8, 1 Peter 2. All right, now look at Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now many times we pointed out from different translations, even some of the King James translations in the margin, we'll let you know that the Hebrew says sickness and pain. Surely he hath borne our sickness and carried our pain. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now let's stop and meditate upon for a moment. Notice it said, surely he hath borne our sickness and carried our pains. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now you really know that? You see, now a lot of times people think, well, yes, now he was nailed to the cross. That's not what this is talking about. This isn't something the Roman soldiers did to him. It said, we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. What does that mean? God laid the cause of our sickness and disease on Jesus. Well, you can't see that with your physical eye. You just have to know it because the Bible said it so. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. Now Matthew, in Matthew 8:17, and commenting on that, says that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, talking about Jesus healing the folks, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Now he said he's quoting Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So that's when he was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, when God laid them on him. He bare our sicknesses. Now, look at 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now that's a very interesting statement, isn't it? By whose stripes you were healed. You're going to be healed? No, you were. You were. You were. In the mind of God, we were healed when he laid those sickness and diseases on Jesus. See, in our mind, we were healed when we get healed. But not so with God. What we need to do is to look at things the way God looks at them. Remember, Isaiah 55 says that as high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are his ways above our ways and his thoughts above our thoughts. So start thinking God's thoughts after him. The Bible contains God's thoughts. Then dare to think like God thinks. I tell the story sometimes, amusing to some folks. It's not amusing to me, and yet right on the other hand, I get thrilled with it. One time I was holding a meeting, and in the middle of the night time, I was awakened with severe symptoms in my chest, you see, and I had been bedfast and given up to die by medical science with two serious organic heart troubles, and it seemed like all the symptoms, you're well acquainted with them when you've had those things for 17 years prior in your life. And then there's a voice like speaking to your mind that said, well, now, doctors couldn't do anything then. It's all come back on you. They couldn't do anything then. They can't do anything now. And you're going to die. Just as real as somebody speaking out loud, and yet it's a voice speaking to your mind. Well, I was staying with the pastor and his wife in the parsonage, and it was in the month of February. And I didn't want to be loud and awaken them. However, their bedroom's down at the end of the hall from mine. So I just pulled the cover just deliberately. Didn't feel inspired to do it. Now, sometimes you're inspired to do things. Sometimes you're led by the Spirit of God to do things, And that works, thank God. But I didn't have any inspiration. I wasn't led to do it. I just did it on purpose. You know what I mean by that? Just deliberately. I just pulled the cover up and covered my head up and started laughing. I didn't feel like laughing. Boy, with those kind of symptoms, you know, the devil telling you you're going to die in a minute, you sure don't feel like laughing. But I just put on a laugh. But you know the Spirit will anoint you to laugh. You get over in the Spirit, get laughing in the Spirit, it's easy, it just rolls out of you. But you have to make yourself do it otherwise, see? And I just start saying, ha, 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 ha. Just kept on going on that way. Now, I don't know how long I had my head covered up. One time I didn't look at my watch. Most of the time I look to see what time it is. But I had my head covered up. It's in the dark. Didn't want to turn the light on anyway. So I just kept laughing. It seems to me like I must laugh 10 minutes. Yet I know at a time like that, a few seconds seemed like 10 minutes. Until, again, see, that same voice that spoke to my mind, it's just as real almost as somebody out here talking to you. Comes right to your mind, you know. That same voice that said, now see, it's all come back on you. You know already the doctors can't do anything about it. You're going to die. And I started laughing. That same voice said, what are you laughing about? Well, I recognize it to be the devil. I mean, anything that's doubt and unbelief is the devil. I mean, you don't have to be too smart to know that. That's just the devil. Because God's not full of doubt and unbelief, is he? I said, is he? And he's not peddling doubt and unbelief, is he? No. So I knew it's the devil, you see. And so he said, what are you laughing about? Well, I said, Mr. Devil, you know what I'm laughing about? I'll tell you exactly. According to the word of God, I'm healed. Well, now he wanted to get me right back on my symptoms, you see. He began to point out these symptoms in my chest. And you remember what Dr. Robertson said? And you're going to die. That's what you're going to do. And I said, ha, 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 ha. Didn't feel like it. Boy, I mean, just didn't feel a thing. Just flat made myself do it. And just said, ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. What are you laughing about? I said, I'm laughing at you. You know, the devil don't like to be laughed at any more than you do. He is a personality, you know. I said, what are you laughing at me about? I said, you said I'm not going to get healed. That's right. This is one time you're not going to get healed. I said, ha, 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 ha. I just kept on. The third time he said, what are you laughing about? I said, I'm laughing at you. What are you laughing at me about? You said I'm not going to get healed. That's right. You're not going to get healed. I said, ha, 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 ha. The fourth time he said, what are you laughing about? I said, I've already told you. Three times, I'll tell you again. I'm laughing at you. What are you laughing at me about? I said, you said I'm not going to get healed. That's right. This is one time you're not going to get healed. I said, ha ha, Mr. Devil. I don't expect to get healed. I'm not trying to get healed. I don't want to get healed. Because you see, I am healed. Now, you see, the Bible said, by whose stripes ye were healed. Not that you're going to get healed. Well, I'm trying to get it. What are you going to do that for? See, that's where you're missing it. Why don't you just relax and accept what God said about it? Amen. See, I said, ha ha, Mr. Devil, I'm not trying to get healed. I'm not even expecting to get healed. I'm not even wanting to get healed because I am healed. Well, now, the minute you said that, then the devil said, well, now, listen, look at you, feel your heart. See, it's beating irregular. I can tell that without even feeling of it, you know, jumping around inside my chest. You're still hurting in your chest. I didn't even pay attention to that. I said, ha, ha, Mr. Devil. Now, in case you can't read, I'll just turn the light on and get my Bible, because it's right there, Bible, and just read it to you. And so I just opened my Bible to 1 Peter 2:24 and read it right out loud about 1:30 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Hallelujah. I said, you see, it said, by whose stripes ye were healed. If we were healed, then I was. So I'm not trying to get it. I'm not even wanting it. I have it. You might as well pack up your duds and get out of here. You never saw anybody scurry around so fast in all your life. He grabbed all of his belongings and all of his symptoms and left while I was laughing. And that was the end of the whole thing. But now, had I entertained that, I said, had I entertained what the devil said, I could have very well died. All of my former condition could have come back on me. But no, I sided in with the Word of God. Hallelujah. In other words, I took sides against the devil. I took sides with God's Word. Well, you can't take sides with God's Word if you don't know what God's Word says, can you? I said, can you? But when you know what God's Word says, then you can side in with it. Amen. So I would say really that this, what I'm saying right now, is the most important thing that you need to know about divine healing. That it's yours. That it's already bought and paid for, bless God. Somebody said it like this. I don't know where I first heard it or first read it, but I like the statement. Heard it many, many years ago. Somebody said, healing, your healing, is already purchased. It's already bought and paid for. Your sickness and your disease, God laid them on Jesus and He bore them. And God has your healing all wrapped up, packaged up, got your name on it. Well, He's just waiting for you to come claim it. It's yours. I said, it's yours. I said, it's yours. Praise God. Well, say it's mine.
It's mine.
According to the Word of God, it's mine.
According to the Word of God, it's mine.
Say it again.
According to the Word of God, it's mine.
Amen. Now, that's the most important thing you need to know about divine healing, that it's yours. Say, healing is mine.
Healing is mine.
Physical healing is mine.
It belongs to me.
Amen. Now here's another thing. You know, actually, I just take people over what helped me. I don't believe I'm indifferent to anybody else. We humans are all pretty well alike. Whatever boosted or bolstered or buoyed my faith will help you. If you'll let it, of course. Here's something that helped me more than anything else, I think. As much, let me put it that way. As much, and that's the reason I listed number two here. About receiving healing is in knowing where sickness comes from, the source of sickness and disease. You see, if it doesn't come from heaven, then God doesn't want me to have it. Some folks will say, well, I don't know why God put this on me. Well, there's not any sickness up in heaven. Where did God get it to put it on you? You'd have to steal it. And He's not a thief. Notice Acts 10:38. This verse helped me immeasurably. I always keep referring to it again and again. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing. Now, whom did He heal? All that were oppressed of the devil. Then sickness is satanic oppression, isn't it? I said, isn't it? For God was with him. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Now that verse says, all that Jesus healed were oppressed of the devil, doesn't it? Or does it? When I read this verse of scripture, I always think of John Alexander Dowie. Way back in 1875. Down in Sydney, Australia. Pastor of the First Congregationalist Church. Dowie was educated as a lawyer to begin with. He graduated from the University of Edinburgh in Scotland. Then he felt the call of God on him to the ministry, so he went into the ministry. Wound up eventually down in Australia, pastor of the First Congregationalist Church of Sydney, Australia. But in 1875, there came a bubonic plague to Australia. People were dying like flies. He had already buried 40 members of his church who died with the bubonic plague. He had five or seven more that's already dead, that's waiting to be buried. and many more of his congregation who were sick, who now have the bubonic plague. There isn't a cure for it, see. Or wasn't. Dalvey said, and I read his testimony, he didn't know, you see. He's walking all the light he had. So he said he was seated in his office or his pastor's study in the church with his arms on his desk and his head in his arms, just crying his heart out. Just crying his heart out. Dear Lord, he said, is all my congregation going to die? Well, now you think about that. 40 people already buried, 7 more waiting to be buried. Think about that. That wiped some congregations out, virtually. Amen. But he's pastor of a large church. Are they all going to die? And then, you see, according to what he'd been taught, you know, Lord, you know, where did this plague come from? Did you send this? Is this judgment coming on the land? That's what many people say. Do you ever notice on the insurance policy, something bad happens, they call it an act of God. Did you send this? Did you send this on your people? You know, others are dying, but now here your people's dying too. Where did it come from? While he was weeping, with all these thoughts running through his mind, he said, suddenly from somewhere way down within me. And of course, if he's born again, and he is, the Holy Ghost is in there. Somewhere down on the inside of me, it's like a voice spoke up and said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Something inside him spoke that. Well, it's foreign to him. He's never heard it preached. He don't know anything about it. Yet he knows the Bible. He knows that's Acts 10:38. He said, when that was spoken, like a flash, it was like a flash went off, a flash of light. He didn't know about it then. We'd call it just like a flash bulb went off in his room. And he said, I saw it. That inward voice said, Satan is a destroyer, but Jesus is the deliverer. And then he said, as I sat there and meditated, he said, like a flash, I saw it then, all the way through the Bible, from Genesis right through, that God's always the deliverer, Satan is the destroyer. Scripture after scripture came to him, came to his mind, you see. And he said, he's rejoicing in this newfound truth. Never heard anybody preach it. Didn't know about it. He's rejoicing in it. And he said, Lord, now help me. I can see it now. But now give me the ability to explain this to my people, to teach them so they can see it, so they can walk in the light of it. And while he's yet there meditating upon those scriptures, he said he heard running footsteps through the church sanctuary, a pounding on the pastor's study door. And when he said, come in, 3 young men, hatless and coatless, rushed into the room. One of them said to him, Dr. Dalvey, come quickly. And he mentioned certain is dying. Mary is dying. Little 12-year-old girl of his parish. He knew she had this. He said, Mother, won't you? Mary's dying. So he said, without thinking, I just jumped up from my study. Didn't take time to get my hat or my coat. I ran out after those young men and ran 2 blocks down the street from the church and into this home. The doctor's there. The mother's there. Here's a little 12-year-old girl lying on the bed in convulsions with a bloody froth running out of her mouth. He said that's the way they died with that. He said, I ask The mother, why did you send for me? She said, oh, pray. She didn't know about healing either, but just pray. He said, the doctor said, he's a member of his church too, how mysterious God moves his wonders to perform. He said, I said to him, sir, how dare you call this the work of my God? He's not putting something like that on a little 12-year-old girl. I'd have you to know this is the work of the devil. Amen. See, he just come with fresh revelation, light, The doctor picked up his plug hat, he said, and put it on, said, "Well, you better just keep your hands off of God's work." Isn't that strange? That people would do all they could, and then when it comes to divine healing, well, you better keep your hand off of God's work. Well, if sickness and disease is God's work, then you ought to want to get well to begin with. But folks don't think. So the doctor left. He said, "I can't remember everything I prayed, but it went something like this. I said, 'Oh, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, I come on the behalf of Mary.'" There she is in convulsion with the bloody froth running out of her mouth. "And I began with Genesis and came through the Bible, quoting scripture as they came to me that I'd just seen in the spirit as I was praying. And then I said, 'When Jesus was here on earth, he healed, and he's the will of God in action.' And I quoted Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. And he rebuked disease, so I rebuked this disease. And he rebuked death, so I rebuked death. Command her to live in the name of Jesus." And he said, immediately the convulsion ceased. The bloody froth no longer ran out of her mouth. She fell into a deep sleep, so deep that her mother thought she had died. And I said, "Oh, no, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. Let her sleep for a few moments." And so we let her sleep for a few moments. And then I snapped my finger in her ear and said, "Mary, Mary," and called her name. And she opened her eyes and looked and stretched, you know, and said, "Oh, Mommy, I feel so good. I've been asleep so long." No, it's been a few seconds. And then he said, "I remembered then," thank God for the word, "I remembered then that when Jesus raised up that little maiden from the dead, you know, and healed her, he said, 'Give her something to eat.' And I said, 'And you're hungry?' She said, 'Yes, yes.' And they had a nurse attendant. I said to her, 'Well, get her some bread, you know, and make her a cup of cocoa or chocolate, you know.' And she brought it. She ate it. He said, I went into the next room, prayed for a little 4-year-old brother who had the same disease. And he was instantly healed. I went from house to house because many of his men prayed for him. And every one of them was healed. Not another member of my church died. And then he came to America. But before he came from America, he said, for 19 years before he came then, not one single person of my congregation died except elderly people that had lived their life out. Because he began to preach this truth. Hallelujah. Thank God for the truth. Thank God for the word of God. Hallelujah. Satan is a destroyer. Say that.
Satan is a destroyer.
Amen. Jesus is the deliverer. Now, here's another scripture. See, the Bible said in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses everywhere to be established. Luke 13:16. Here you remember in Luke the 13th chapter, as Jesus entered into the synagogue, the word of God tells us that here was a woman that entered into the synagogue who was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. Her body, you know, is in that kind of condition, just bowed together. And Jesus called the woman to him, you remember, and she was loosed. The ruler of the synagogue became angry. He said, because Jesus healed the woman on the Sabbath. Now I want you to notice what Jesus said in answering the rulers of the synagogue in the 16th verse of the 13th chapter of Luke's gospel. He said, "And art not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" Now analyze what Jesus said. He said that woman ought to be loosed on the Sabbath day even. Now one reason she ought to be loosed is because she's a daughter of Abraham. But the important thing is, how did Jesus know? Now, he had to have revelation to know that because he didn't know this woman, according to the scriptures. How did he know she'd had that condition for 18 years? He said it was Satan that had bound her. Didn't he? For 18 years. 18 years. Crippling paralysis of some kind. Her body all deformed. I saw a woman that way one time. Just bowed over. Couldn't straighten up. Her head's down here below her knees. His body just bowed over. She'd look up like this, way on over that way. Think about it. That's the way this woman was. Lo, Satan has bound these 18 years. Or not she be loosed from this bond? Now notice that he said Satan bound her. Notice that he said that sickness and disease is a bond. It's bondage. You ought to be loose from it. You ought to be loose from it. Praise God. Now here's another verse. John, the 10th chapter, the 10th verse. Call you to mind that the Bible said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. We want to establish with God's word. The thief, Jesus said, John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now in connection with that, let's read, because John's the one that wrote this, let's read the first epistle of John, the 3rd chapter, the 8th verse. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Actually, the Greek word here is he that practices sin. All of us have committed sin. We've missed it somewhere or another. But we don't practice it. I'm talking about Christians now. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy what now? What is he manifested that he might do? Destroy the works of the devil. Well, now we've already established the fact that sickness is the work of the devil. Jesus said it was Satan that bound that woman. The Bible said that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Amen. Jesus said the thief. Well, he's talking about the devil. God's not a thief. Jesus is not a thief. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I'm come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. The Son of God, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. When I saw the source of sickness and disease, or where it comes from, or that Satan's the author of it, then I'm just as much against sickness and disease as I am against the devil. And I knew this, God didn't want me with it. Now, I don't know about you, and I think you'd have to have the same revelation to feel that way. I almost feel like, or would feel like, of course, like I said, through these years now, mighty few times I've ever been attacked in body. I go along sometime 5, 6, 7 years at a time, don't even know I got a body. Have any kind of physical problems, whatever. And, I'd almost feel guilty. God don't want me with anything that the devil has. He didn't want me with it. Amen. And you see, when you got that kind of attitude, then you're going to rise up against it. You're not going to entertain it. You're going to be just as much opposed to sickness and disease as you are the devil. By opposing sickness and disease, you are opposing the devil. The thief. The devil's a thief. Sickness is a thief. Disease is a thief. God's not a thief, thank God. I'm not a thief. I'm not going to be caught with anything that belongs to the devil. Remember one time when I was a little kid, I learned a great lesson. My mother, of course, had always taught me, to be honest. Well, I was visiting my cousin, one of my cousins. And right adjoining, actually, my uncle and this house next door and yard and so on, they worked in the same, well, worked for the bank. Actually, they were bankers. And Mr. Cameron, he had some prize peach trees in his backyard. Now, he had this fenced. I mean, people way back there then, you know, when folks didn't travel, but they'd come from several counties, particularly on Sunday, drive from other counties just to drive by and look, see his beautiful peaches, you see. I mean, just like a parade going by his house, you know, at that time of the year. Because it was publicized about these prize peaches. Well, now, my cousin climbed up on the, see, one of these trees was close to the, you know, you couldn't get to any of them, but one of them hung out over the top of the garage, actually. Actually, there was a garage, and then there's a sort of a shed went off. They use that for tools, shed, you know, lawnmowers and rakes and hoes, and it sort of slanted down. Wasn't as tall as the garage is, you know, because it started in where the garage came up this way, and it started in the eave, you know, and slanted down. And one of these limbs, you know, had something beautiful, hung just over the fence and over that shed. So my cousin, he got up there, you know, and he... See, my mother had told me, now, I was going up the street just two blocks away to play with Gillis, and... You know, mothers somewhere or other, they have a knack of knowing, don't they? She said to me, now, don't you boys get Mr. Cameron's peaches. Well, whatever would give her that idea that we'd do such a thing as that anyhow? Somewhere or other, mothers know boys, don't they, you know? So, Gillis, though, he climbed up there on top of this shed, you know, up a ladder, and, you know, he said, this gets us. No, I said, Mama said, don't. Well, now they're hanging over here on our property, right over the top of that shed. We'll just get a couple. Won't anybody know anything about it, you know? No, I said, I'm not going to do it. Well, I'm going to. So he pulled one off. Now, I'm down on the ground, dropped it down there, pulled another off, you know. And, of course, now he's got them. I mean, they ought to be et, you know. I mean, so I ate one, he ate one, see. And played, you know, Mama told me, when you get there, tell Aunt Nell now you can play till for 2 hours. Well, my 2 hours is up, see. I'm about 9 years old. And my 2 hours up, Aunt Nell said, it's time to go home, Ken. So I went home. But somewhere or another, the closer I got to home, the worse I felt. I mean, I just didn't feel right. I mean, something's not right. Anybody know? So I come in home. And the first thing Mama said was, come here. Well, I marched up there, and she smelled of my hands and my breath. You got one of Mr. Cameron's peaches, didn't you? No, I didn't. Now, don't you lie to me. Well, I ate one. Well, now, Gillis got two of them. I did eat it, you know, all right. But I didn't really get it myself. I mean, you know. He pulled them off. I didn't pull them off. After he'd done pulled them off, well, you know, I mean, knows him eating two, you know. I mean, big peaches. Well, now, just march right in there. I had a little, you know, a few nickels or something. And get a nickel. Now, don't sound big now, but way back there then, a lot of money. And march right up there and tell Mr. Cameron that you've come to pay him for the peach. Man, I started crying. I don't want to do that. Well, yeah, you just do it. No, I'm not going to. Well, now, if you don't, I'm going to give you a whipping. And then I'll march you up there. And then when we get back home, I'll give you another whipping. Well, I knew she'd do it. So I got my nickel. And I went up the street about two blocks away, like I said. And, boy, I sure hope he's not home yet. Knocked on the door, not very loud. Don't anybody hear me. Didn't hear anything. Didn't knock again, see. So, boy, you know, I began to feel a whole lot better. He's not home. About that time I could hear somebody coming. Uh-oh. Well, maybe it's just his wife. She, you know, maybe Mr. Cameron hadn't got in yet. But sure enough, he opened the door. I said, Mr. Cameron, you know, and she told me, said, I don't tell him Gillis did anything. Just tell him you got one of his peaches. Don't even bring Gillis in on it. So I said, I got one of your peaches, and I've come to pay for it. Here's a nickel. Well, now, he really didn't want a nickel, but he knew what was going on. Nickel didn't mean a thing in the world to him. But he knew Mama was teaching me a lesson. He knew I was sent up there. Nobody's going to go up there bawling, squalling, you know, just a bawling and a squalling, you know, the face all red. But I gave him that nickel, and he took it. But then, you see, that this is what's so bad. After all that suffering, he said, son, anytime any of you boys wants a peach, just come and ask me. I'd be glad to give you a peach or two or three or four or five. He had just trees full of them. Or as many as you want, really. Just come knock on the door and tell me. You talk about hurting my Lord. You hurt worse than ever then. You know, you could have had a peach and not gotten all that trouble. But here's my thought. I got something that didn't belong to me. And have any business with it. Wasn't mine. Didn't belong to me. Well, I'd eaten it, otherwise I'd had to take it back. But I had to pay for it. Well, when I saw sickness and disease of the devil, I knew it didn't belong to me and doesn't belong to God. I'm not going to be caught with something that don't belong to me. If I am, you better take it back right away. Just take it back where it came from. Send it back. Amen. Oh, no, I know what folks do a lot of times. You take, you know, the time of year, you know, winter time, so on, time for folks to have colds, you know. People say sometime because maybe a few symptoms are, well, you're taking a cold. No, I said, I'm not taking any cold. The devil's trying to give me one, but I'm not taking it. I'm sending it back. Amen. It's amazing how fast things will change when you'll do that. I've seen many times almost instantly symptoms would disappear. Other times they start disappearing right then, just a little while they're gone. Now you take a lot of time, people hear on the news, you know, somebody's predicting they're going to have an epidemic of the flu. And I've heard born-again, spirit-filled Christians, even full gospel preachers say, just a minute they heard it, yeah, and I'll be the first one to get it. Well, no, I'm not going to get it, bless God. I haven't had the flu in years. It's too late to start having it now. Well, now, what are you going to do, though, if the devil puts it on you? Well, in the first place, he ain't going to put it on me. If he comes by with his symptoms, which he has a few times, I remember one time some of them lasted for about an hour and a half. I just sent him on down the road somewhere. I said, devil, you don't leave that package here. It don't belong to me. You'll have to go down the street. Some of those sinners or unbelievers, you know, don't leave that here. It's not my package. Don't have my name on it. Doesn't belong to me. I haven't ordered it. But you see, instead of standing against sickness and disease, very often we entertain it. That's a sad thought, but it's absolutely the truth. Now then, say it out loud. Sickness and disease does not belong to me.
Sickness and disease does not belong to me.
It is not the will of God for me.
It is not the will of God.
Satan is the author of sickness and disease.
Satan is the author of sickness and disease.
Not God.
Not God.
God does not want me sick.
God does not want me sick.
God does not want me to have anything of the devil.
God does not want me to have anything of the devil.
He's made provision for me to be free.
He's made provision for me to be free.
Now, how many of you really believe that? Start praising God. Right now, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah, thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, O Lord. We magnify the name of Jesus. Glory to God forever, O Lord. Thy word is settled in heaven. Amen. Amen.